Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes when our bodies begin to get dehydrated, we start to feel hungry. And what happens when we feel hungry? Well, we eat. And if we don't actually need to eat, what happens when we eat and we don't have to? Well, we gain weight. When we don't get enough water, we can also become tired and dizzy and anxious, and our muscles will begin to fatigue a whole lot faster, and our joints will start to ache. What does that mean? Well, it means life is very unpleasant without water. The point? We need water. We need lots and lots of water. Tonight we continue our sermon series through the book of Exodus. And this time we look at Exodus chapter 16, using the questions, who, what, when, where, why, and how. It's all geared towards one point. We all need water. Lots and lots of water. So first, who? Who are we talking about? Well, the Israelites, of course. The Israelites, they lived in Egypt alongside the Nile River for 430 years. And even when the Israelites left Egypt, they had no problem with water, right? We need water in order to form it into walls that we can cross through into safety. No problem. We need water to come crashing back in on top of Pharaoh's army to destroy them. Great. No problem. Who? Well, it's the Israelites. The Israelites and Moses. And the name Moses literally means to be drawn out of the water. You remember as a child, Moses was placed into the basket and floated in the Nile River. And what happens? But Pharaoh's daughter draws him up out of the water and so gives him the name Moses. Later in Moses' life, when he meets his wife, Zipporah, what is he doing? He's drawing water out of a well, that he might water her flock. In Exodus 15, which we didn't get to read through this Lenten series, but what happens? But the people of Israel come to a place where there is water, but the water is bitter. And so what does Moses do? He picks up a piece of wood and he throws it into the water, and it becomes sweet, instantly purified. The who is both Israelite and Moses. The waterman. And in fact, the who is you. But we'll get to that later. What? What? Well, there's no water for the people to drink. The Israelites left Egypt and now they have been in the desert for a month. In the desert, there's lots of sand, there's lots of rocks, there's lots of dirt, but there's not a lot of water. We all know what it feels like to lack water. In fact, we know what it's like to lack water in more than one way. We know what it is to thirst. My heart is broken, and it hurts so bad, I don't know how to fix it. Right? We have emotional thirst. There's spiritual thirst. God, if you are so good, why does this hurt so bad? God, why do you seem so far away? God, do you even exist? And if you do, do you even care? There's relational thirst. Lord, when it comes to love, I've struck out a billion times. Why can't I find anybody? When relationships fall apart and we can't figure out the way to pick up the pieces and put them back together again. Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." What do we do when we're overcome with thirst? The same thing. Just like the Israelites, we're ready to throw stones. We thirst so much that when we don't get what we want, but it doesn't come in the form of actual stones. It comes in the form of verbal assaults, silent stares, angry texts. Rocks fly. And honestly, it breaks God's heart. So we have the who. We have the what. Where? the Israelites camped at Rephidim. And where is Rephidim? Honestly, nobody knows. It's somewhere near Mount Sinai, but honestly, archaeologists haven't been able to find out where Rephidim is. But while the location of Rephidim physically on this earth is unknown, of course, we all know what it's like to be there. Rephidim is that place in our lives where we're burned out with overwhelming fear. It's that place in life where we're lonely and it's too much for us to bear. It's the place in life where our doubts are too many to number. Rephidim is the place where relationships are dehydrated. Rephidim is where mothers are ready to throw in the towel because of their children. It's where children are upset because they don't have as many friends as they'd like at school. It's where husbands are working too many hours a week. Rephidim is where you go to the same job on a different day, where you keep the same routine over and over and over and over, and you get burnt out on the roteness of life. That's Rephidim. Rephidim, of course, exists in the church, too. Rephidim's the place where we cry, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, as Psalm 42 tells us. Or maybe Psalm 63. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Who? What? Where? Why? Why do we become so thirsty? Because our minds are focused on how it might have been. That's what the Israelites said, right? You brought us up out of Egypt. Moses, this is your fault. Meaning, well, if we had stayed back there, it might have been different. We might not have had this thirst. Things could have been so much better. Because we're always gazing into what the Lord has not given us. Who? What? Where? Why? How? How do we get it? How do we get this water? Well, the Israelites got it from Moses' staff. It can't just be any random branch. It can't just be some stick I break off of a tree. It has to be the staff. The staff that Moses carried back from the burning bush incident back to Egypt. The staff that Moses used to turn the Nile to blood. The staff that he could throw down and turn into a snake. The very staff that he carried with him into the Red Sea as the waters were parted. It has to be the staff. And so Moses takes his special staff and he strikes the rock as God commanded him. What happens? The Israelites aren't thirsty anymore. Water flows just as God promised. Water comes out of the rock, and what happens? But the people of Israel live. They don't die of thirst in the wilderness, but they live just like God planned for them to live. And yet this rock that was struck, it's Jesus. It's all laid out in Scripture. They put a staff in Jesus' hand, and they knelt in front of him, and they paid homage to him, mocking, of course. Hail, King of the Jews. They spit on him. They took the staff, and they struck him on the head over and over and over again. And they didn't need a special staff. Any old stick will do. Anything that could survive the repeated beatings on top of a man's head, that is the stick that they needed. Any ordinary stick. Any piece of wood. And in fact, even later on the cross, they took a pointed stick called a spear, and they split the rock with it. One of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Water flowing from a man whose lips are cracked and swollen. Water from a man who, with his own parched mouth, confessed, "I thirst," as he died for the sins of the world. As he died for your sins, as he died for my sins, as he died for your thirst. Strike the rock, and water will come out, and the people will drink. The water from Jesus, our rock, flowed as God promised. And what happens? We don't die in this wilderness. We don't die at Rephidim. We don't die here at all. We live just as God promised. Who? It's Israel. It's Moses, and it's you. What? There is no water. Where? At Rephidim. Why? Because it might have been. And how? From the very side of our Savior Jesus. Which question are we missing? When? When does this water flow? When does it come to you? When does it quench your longing, your aching in this world? Right now. Right now. Jesus gives you this living, life-giving, soul-renewing water that flows from the cross for you. For in Jesus we see that God will not leave his people to thirst, but he will take care of them, both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your thirst in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.